Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is time for the Skins at 4 o'clock here on Chad Dukes versus the World, live from Hollywood Casino and Resort. I'm Craig Hoffman. That is Chris Russell in for Dukes. Tomorrow it will be me as well, except for sitting in this chair to my left will be J.P. Finley, which will be an adventure because that means J.P. Finley will be in a casino.
See, you travel in the same, yeah, I mean, you guys both travel. J.P. Finley and I never got to, I don't think, travel together when I was on the beat. Mm-hmm. So you know him out on the road. Are you saying that this is a temptation from time to time for J.P. on the road?
Have you ever listened to JP?
You don't have to know him personally to know this. I just did a 4.5 hour show with him the other day. He didn't talk about gambling at all.
What a miracle that is.
He wanted to talk about ground beef. That's all he wanted. And to blue shorts.
What?
It sucked.
I have so many questions.
Just saying.
Yeah. So I just
threw you completely off.
Yeah, you absolutely
okay.
did.
All right, let's get back to the Redskins. Let's do what we do.
So did we, sorry, Mullen's back in studio. Sorry to pull this on you. We should have done this during the break. Do you have the Doug Williams audio or can you get it relatively quickly? Sorry for not being prepared on that. Was looking at some other things, including these games happening. But if we can get the Doug Williams audio, because I don't want to take it out of context. I don't want to, you know, say Doug Williams said this. I want to let you hear what Doug Williams said, just like the two of us heard it, because we were both standing right there. And in fact, I'm pretty sure you asked him the question that elicited the response that has now shaken up all of the Redskins world.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just in general, and again, not using quotes or anything like that, because that's not necessarily what we need to get into at this point. He was asking he was asked by, I believe it was Kareem Copeland of the Washington Post, hey, you know, there's this question about how Landon Collins kind of fits into, you know, a scheme, and can he play single high, and can he play deep in coverage and all of that stuff. And Doug basically, oh, wait a second, that's not for me. That's not, I don't do scheme. And basically his point was, we identify talent, and you tell me if I'm wrong in any of this general description. We identify talent in scouting. We don't do scheme, basically, is what he said in a nutshell. And I said, well, wait a second, Doug. I said, with all due respect, I was always taught by everyone that I've been around and covered, Mike Shanahan, Jim Haslett, all those guys, and, you know, Jay Gruden and people that I respect the opinion of and, you know, the analysis of and for their football knowledge, that scheme was an absolutely important cog in any evaluation of any player because players play differently simply in schemes. And Doug stood by and basically said, oh, wait a second. He's like, well, we don't really do scheme. We evaluate a player for his athletic talent. When you go to the combine, you're not evaluating. I got that you're not evaluating scheme at the combine, Doug. My point is when you're in free agency or the draft, and Craig, you tell me if I'm wrong, that's when you evaluate scheme when you're bringing in a player into the organization.
Yes. And Doug Williams has gotten absolutely crushed for saying this. And it's not just outside the building.
I've heard the same thing.
Doug Williams said something that is blatantly wrong. And I just want to correct the record on this. And I think it's important because there are plenty of things that happen within the walls of Ashburn that can cause you to ask a million questions and have concerns about the franchise that so many of you love so much. Doug's speaking is the bigger issue here than what he said. because what he said is not actually what happens. Let me explain to you what happens, especially on the college side. It's a little bit different for the NFL side, the pro side, because you're obviously watching players. Like, there's essentially three different types of scouts, right? You have college scouts, and you have two different types of pro scouts. Some of your pro scouts are scouting for you for games during the season. You then have your pro personnel scouts who are scouting for free agency and to evaluate the players themselves versus trying to eventually work the information you get into a game plan to play with on Sundays that your coaches will eventually come up with. So we're talking about the personnel side. And yes, initially, you are looking at traits. You are looking at how the player fits in the scheme that he is currently playing in. How good is he at doing his job? You are looking at how fast he is. Does he do... And there's a couple of positional examples I'll use in a second that I think illustrate this better. And the same is true for the college scouts during the season. You're watching the games looking at specific traits. However, the second the season ends, and the second you get into trying to figure out, will this player, Landon Collins, Case Keenum, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, Justin Houston, who just signed somewhere else, does this player fit within our football team? You are evaluating, what can they play a given role in our scheme? And the idea that the scouts don't know the scheme is patently absurd and frankly insulting to the football knowledge of the scouts. They know what's going on. Do they know it as well as the coaches? No. Does a lot of their knowledge come from conversations with the coaches on what the coaches need? Yes. And then they piece together that information of what they need versus, hey, we know, okay, you need a press corner. And I think corner and O-line are the two that are the most easy to demonstrate this with. Because if you take a corner, let's say, and I'm not saying this is who this guy is because I don't know enough about Greedy Williams. Let's say, actually, you know, I'll use Byron Murphy because I know a little bit more about him. The corner out of Washington, right? Mm-hmm. And you could say the same thing about Josh Norman. Like, let's actually use Norman. So when the Redskins were evaluating Norman a couple years ago, they said, okay, he's a great cover three zone corner. You know, you give him that kind of man-to-man situation, but in a press bail situation. But he's not the best man-to-man guy. He's not this. He's not that. They had to decide, is that going to work within what we do? And they decided at the time, yes, he was. I think in hindsight, they probably would have made a slightly different decision because they ask him to do things at times that don't make any sense to ask Josh Norman to do. And you knew that going back to 2016 when he was signed. So ultimately, you're looking at, you know, an offensive lineman, right? Is this guy a Mike Shanahan zone style pulling mobile player, or is he a block in a phone booth traditional gap scheme run type guy? You have to make these decisions, and just because a player is good at one doesn't mean he's good at the other. And if your scouts can't relay the information back to your coaches based off scheme, they're useless. And I can tell you the Redskins don't have a bunch of useless scouts, so what Doug Williams said is patently ridiculous. End rant.
Well, that's pretty strong. Here's the thing. What's amazing to me in all of this, I don't blame this, quite honestly, on Doug Williams. Doug Williams won a Super Bowl. Doug Williams has done some great things in his NFL career. Doug Williams has worked for front offices in both the Washington Redskins and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Doug Williams was brought in as a personnel consultant, essentially, or a personnel executive. And my understanding is, basically, he was getting frustrated with his role and basically kind of threatened or made overtures that he was going to leave. And Bruce Allen was looking for a convenient face and a friendly face and somebody that the media would respect because Bruce Allen knew that the media did not respect Bruce Allen and anything that came out of his mouth. So he concocted this scheme to come up with Doug Williams as not only whatever the role that they parade him out to be, but also the voice and the face of the front office, meaning Jay Gruden speaks every day, as you know, Craig, because you're there every day. Yep. But Doug Williams, and I know Bruce has spoke at the Combine and at Senior Bowl, whatever.
He's talked,
but Doug Williams is essentially the face of the Redskins organization. But everyone, I think, knows that covers the team and is around the team, including from what I'm told, coaches, players, personnel in the building and media members knows that Doug Williams' role is not exactly what it's portrayed to be. Is any of that unfair, what I just said?
The only part that I'd say is, I don't even know if unfair is the right word. What is Doug Williams' role portrayed to be?
Well, his role is portrayed to be the senior vice president of player personnel.
No, that's his title.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. But a title portrays a role. He's not filling that role is the point. And this is nothing against Doug. Doug Williams, honestly, I love Doug as a person. I respect him to no end. Honest as I can be, as real as I can be, Doug should not be in that position that his title says he is or should be in, quite honestly. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm not trying to be abrasive. I don't think Doug is a good fit for that particular position. That's as nice and as kind as I can possibly be while being real and transparent.
So let me just again ask the question. What is his role? Because senior vice president of player personnel is a big fancy title that means nothing. Like, that means something different in every different,
right,
you know, power structure and power hierarchy depending on what other positions are there and what other roles you have. It is a title that does not come with a set sense of a set of responsibilities. When you're the head coach, you wear the head, and look, to a point, head coach has some movable stuff too, right? Some head coaches call plays, some don't, whatever. But like, you're the guy that's going to call timeout on game day. You're the one that's going to run the coaching meetings. You're running practice. You're doing this, and you can always change a little bit within. You know, what Steve Spurrier did to run a practice was stand there and practice his golf swing. What Jay Gruden does in running a practice is a little bit different. What Sean McVay does is a little bit different. He's out there running around in drills. So it just depends, but because you have the title of senior vice president of player personnel does not mean that you inherently have any set responsibilities. And I think part of the problem in terms of the relation to the fan base and giving the fan base the feeling like there's competency happening every day at Redskins Park is nobody knows what in the world is going on in terms of the roles and responsibilities. Also, that was a big shot for me because I've got Vermont covering this 8.5, and it's currently an 8-point game. Please turn the ball over, Florida State.
How much
do
money
something
do you
awful.
How much money do you have on this Vermont Florida State game?
Not much.
You
fine.
Care about it an awful lot, right?
This is the fun of sports gambling, Chris. You get emotionally invested.
I know,
the money
I'm
doesn't
just
matter.
I'm just saying. I care
okay,
about
sometimes
Florida.
The money matters a lot.
I care about Florida State winning because
you guys
I've
have
got
a lot
$20
more
in
of the
my
money
pool.
Than the emotion going on here. Yeah.
I've got $20 in my pool, so that's all. I don't care about the number. I care about, does FSU win, and does the Rooster survive at least until Saturday?
All right, I want to continue on this Doug Williams thing next. I would also like to take calls. And I'm going to leave this very open-ended at 800-636-1067. What do you make of this? And that could be Doug having a role, what Doug said. I'm kind of willing to go, because in part I just want to see what fans think is most interesting. We'll come back with the sound from Doug himself as well next. And I'm going to sweat for this entire commercial break. Craig Hoffman, Chris Russell, we are live at Hollywood Casino where I have money on Vermont covering an 8.5-point spread on Chad Dukes versus the world. At Hollywood Casino and Resort at the Sportsbook. I'm Craig Hoffman with Chris Russell here on 106.7 The Fan. We are in for Chad Dukes today.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got March Madness going on, as everybody knows. Craig, out of the four final scores that we have in so far, guess what? There's one common theme.
What is that, Chris?
The dog is barking, man. The dog in each one of these games, according to the spreads that we had here at Hollywood Casinos, 4-0. Here's how it looks. Vermont covered the 8.5 by losing to Florida State. So that's 1-0 against the spread, right?
1-0 for Craig's tickets on that one.
Absolutely. Yale covered the 6.5 against LSU. So they moved the ledger to 2-0 against the spread for the underdogs. Minnesota, in an outright upset, 10-7 style, covered, of course, the 5.5. I'm sorry, Louisville was favored by 5.5. Of course, Minnesota winning outright. So they're 3-0 against the spread are the underdogs. And, of course, New Mexico State barely lost Auburn in a 5.5-point spread, 78-77. So four final scores so far, four underdogs, 4-0 against the spread. That's me, Mr. Gambler, over here. And, oh, by the way, Michigan State up 44-39 now over Bradley. So right now Bradley would be covering, and they were just up just a second ago. And, of course, Belmont leading Maryland, who is favored in that one. So who knows? By the time these games end up, the Dogs could be 6-0.
Yeah, Michigan State's got a long way to go to cover the 18.5. Belmont, well, they're ahead, so obviously they are, you know, Maryland has got bigger issues than covering a number.
Yeah, good little nugget.
Doug Williams has some issues over in Ashburn at Redskins Park, and it has to do with comments he made last week, which we would like to play for you in full, in context, right now.
How do you envision him scheme-wise kind of fitting in?
See, I don't do the scheme thing. You know, when we look at players, we look at talent. And it's up to the defensive coordinator and defensive back coach to scheme him up. You know, I talked to him a little bit yesterday about his play, you know, because I read stuff where everybody talk about a box play. And the thing that he told me was the fact that that's the scheme they ran. And if you're on the team, if that's the scheme you ran, that's what you play. So it all depends on what we do with him. I don't think you can just put him in the corner and say he's just a box guy. Because if you look at him early in his career, that's not true. He wasn't a box guy. Last year he played more in the box because that's what they had him do, you know. But hopefully we can take advantage of all the abilities that he have, no matter where he was in the box, back deep, roaming. It doesn't matter, as long as we can get what we think he has to offer us.
Just as a follow-up, if I could piggyback off that, I've always been taught that in personnel acquisition you try and find players that fit the scheme and what the coaches ideally want. So you're kind of saying that you guys in personnel are just identifying talent and then not worrying?
I think that's what people think, that, you know, because we're not in the room with the scheme. So I don't know exactly what the scheme is, no more than what we see. But I think athletic ability and the play of a player should fit in the scheme you put him in, if you look at it from that standpoint. You know, it's a guy, some guys that we had on the board that we'd say, hey, he can only play in the box because he might not can run, but he's tough as nails. But a guy like this, you know, we didn't put him in the box. We put him as a safety that he can play wherever you put him. You know, it all depends on how you use him. But you know, I tell people all the time, whether it's the receiver, whether it's the running back, no matter what, we don't scheme them up because we can't. It's just like going to the combine. You know, they're not up here, so you don't know what scheme they're in. But you do take for what you see at the combine, his workout, his agility drill and all that. You say, hey, we can get that guy and we can put him in our scheme.
So that was Doug Williams in full context. And interestingly enough, hearing back those comments again, as again, I was standing there when he said them, as were you, as people heard, because they heard your question. He talks a lot about scheme for a guy who says we don't talk a lot about scheme. And I think that is just what doesn't make any sense, because clearly they are evaluating based off of role and usage. And specifically to talk about Landon Collins, it's like, oh, we don't I don't do the scheme thing. Well, you were looking for a guy to play safety for you. Safety involves a certain set of skills that you have an understanding of based off of your scheme. And to try to understand whether or not Landon Collins can fulfill those roles, you have to understand the scheme. And that's why, again, like, it's not that the scouts don't do scheme. It's that Doug said it that is so mystifying to me.
And that's been the problem all along. It's that they have this title, role, whatever you want to call it. They sell this certain image of what Doug is doing and how much he's in charge of. And that's the way the Redskins have decided to do this. Nobody asked them to do this. Nobody forced them to do this, Craig. But it's okay if you want to portray this. It's okay if you want to sell this, if you don't have Doug then putting essentially not once, not twice, not three, this is at least the fourth time, if you don't have Doug kind of exposing the actual non-communication or the non-authority and the non-knowledge, if you will, in his role.
Here's the thing, though.
That's a problem.
I don't think it is okay. Because ultimately, and maybe this is me being a snobby media member reporter, but ultimately, the people responsible for the decisions should be the ones talking.
I agree with that.
Because that, like, the NFL is a private business that gets to make decisions, but it is right. a public business in that it is reliant on fans and it is reliant financially on the emotional investment of the people who are interested. And if you're going to have the emotional investment and try to inform those people and create more emotional investment, ultimately you are responsible to them. And so if Doug has no power, Doug should not be speaking. And like that's not a shot at Doug personally. It's a shot at Doug professionally. Doug doesn't have, as far as we know, any real power. He may run a couple of meetings. I do actually believe, from what I've been told, that his scouting opinion is valued, especially on certain positions.
And it should be.
But ultimately, like, he doesn't have decision-making power. That is Bruce. And there are other people that have a bigger influence on right. Bruce's decisions. I know everyone wants to think Bruce does everything for himself, but, like, you know, Alex Santos and Kyle Smith, the respective heads of the pro and college scouting department, they have big influence on what Bruce does because they have the most information.
Listen,
and ultimately, like, if Doug doesn't have power, he shouldn't be the one that we're asking questions because he doesn't know the answers.
I would agree from a snobby media standpoint. You're absolutely correct about what you're saying.
I'd be ticked off too because, like, all, at the end of the day, like, it's not me being a snobby media person. It's me being a liaison to the fans.
Okay,
because and I've had this conversation with various people within that organization. Your fans, talking about you, the Redskins, are my listeners.
Yes, I agree.
Our listeners.
I agree. And this is what Bruce Allen does not understand. Bruce thought he was going to pull the wool over everyone's eyes by putting a guy with no real discernible power and control and authority and who's, quite honestly, again, not necessarily built for this particular position and role and title. He thought, they're never going to figure this out. I'm going to put this guy because he's friendly, because he's Doug. He made Doug look bad. Doug has not helped himself. Doug has hurt himself. Bruce Allen, the guy who is making the decisions, made Doug Williams and the Redskins look bad time and time again because of just this particular decision and show.
I don't think that that's giving Doug enough of the blame. Doug's a grown man, and it's time we start treating him as such. I feel like the idea, like, I think it's disrespectful almost to Doug to say this is all on Bruce, because then it seems like Doug is a puppet.
I didn't say it was all on Bruce.
Right.
I said,
I'm just clarifying
in general,
the narrative in general.
I think Bruce deserves more blame for this than he's getting.
Sure,
Doug
Williams, you hired the guy. If you hired the guy who's not up to the job, then it's in part on you.
But, Craig, he thought this was a good idea. That's the point. He thought, I'm going to put, again, a friendly face. I'm not going to worry about what – it's like in 2014. You weren't here yet, I don't think.
And no, I came
sorry,
in right after.
Sorry to jump in on you. But he hired Jay Gruden as a first-year head coach. He did not filter. He did not censor. He did not teach. He did not instruct. He did not guide Jay Gruden at all in any way, shape, or form. Hey, Jay, as a first-time head coach, speaking every day, you can't throw everyone on your roster under the bus. And it was time and time and time and time again until Jay figured out, hey, I'm going to lose my job and I'm not going to survive unless I start being a politician, unless I start being politically correct. To me, yes, Bruce hired him, and no, Bruce isn't responsible directly for public relations. That's other people. But Bruce put him in that position and did not help and did not support him in any way. And it's kind of similar to what he is doing now, although different circumstances, with Doug Williams. He's asking Doug Williams to be the face and the voice of the franchise or the front office, and he did not support him, he did not help him, and he's exposing him for what Doug Williams is not necessarily good at.
That is very nice of you to put it that way. 800-636-1067 is the phone number. Jay's in D.C. Jay, thanks for calling. You're on the fan.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I want to say it's a little scary because we have made a lot of bad decisions in the past, like bringing in Haynesworth that didn't really fit our team. But honestly, when I heard it, I thought it was irrelevant. And the first thing I thought was they need to stop letting them speak. And I don't really know why they let them speak. And real quick, Craig, I listened to your podcast. I'm a trainer as well. I just got a random question. Don't make fun of me. I wanted to know what the heck is that black thing that Vernon Davis wears around his neck during a game? It's like a headphone type of thing.
That's a good question. And I actually don't know the answer. I don't know whether it's like some kind of trauma measurement type of thing. I don't know. I actually haven't seen that. Sometimes
Maybe to stimulate the nerves or anything?
I don't know. I don't know. I legitimately have not seen it. Sometimes being in the press box is the worst place to see things like that. Well,
especially the FedEx Field press box.
But I will do more. Tweet me so I have your handle, and I will get back to you with more information on that. There you go.
Appreciate
Jay,
that.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, absolutely, man. And thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll take more calls coming up next. 800-636-1067. Craig Hoffman, Chris Russell talking about Doug Williams' comments on 106.7 The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Craig Hoffman, Chris Russell in for Chad today on Chad Dukes versus the World. This is 106.7 The Fan and the radio.com app. We are live at Hollywood Casino in Charlestown, West Virginia in the sports book, watching games. Oh, do we know what Tom Izzo was so mad about? He was like going crazy on one of his players a couple minutes ago. I don't know. We'll figure that out.
I don't know. I lost track of that.
Probably because his team is only up two on Bradley.
That could be a problem in a 215 match. Don't they? They have some injuries, though, that they're still dealing with,
right? Yeah, but they also just won the Big Ten tournament. Right. Maryland, speaking of the Big Ten, Turtles, I better not say that around actual Maryland people. The Terrapins, 46-40 inside jokes.
Wait a second.
Friends.
Maryland people don't like when you call them Turtles?
No.
I didn't know that.
How have you lived here that long?
I'm just teasing. It's kind of like when I used to commonly refer to Tennessee Volunteers fans or the Tennessee Volunteers program as creamsicles. They didn't like that very much either.
I can't imagine why. They are back up 48-40 now, running away from Belmont, which is bad for me. And this other ticket I have already successful on the Vermont. We'll see. Belmont just hit a three, so 5-point game.
Exactly. 16, I wouldn't call it 44. Running away with Maryland's offense.
Well, they were there momentarily. Yeah. The good thing about college basketball is there's more runs in the game. We are discussing the comments made by Doug Williams that we don't do the scheme thing as scouts, which are incorrect. Chris is in Hyattsville. He's giving us a call at 800-636-1067. Chris, what's up? Thanks for holding through the break.
Oh, Chris.
Hey, Chris, listen, as per usual, anything said or done by the Redskins front office is totally criticized by you guys ad nauseum, and you make a mountains out of molehills. And in this case, I think you're doing that just that right now because, you know, since Mike Shanahan's departure, this front office has actually drafted and done a better job of evaluating college talent in that time frame. The drafts of the last couple of years have produced a number of defensive starters, okay? And I don't think what Williams is saying is they don't think or consider scheme at all. I think he's saying that it's not the determining factor and that if a player has the athletic ability and the upside, the coaches should be able to put him in their scheme and they should be able to succeed. Now, I want to ask you one thing. Why is it that so many coaches are so determined to install or run their scheme when you have the best coach in the league, Belichick, has a different scheme every week? I mean, is there any consideration?
Chris, it's actually a great question, and it's absolutely something that was discussed as I was talking about these comments with people in the building. And I want to be really clear. Like, I just went, that's weird when Doug said them. And then it was brought up to me by someone over there,
right?
Like, hey, these comments, like, what? This is weird. Like, it made its way through the media,
yes,
back to Redskins Park, and then kind of back to the media again. So when you say making a mountain out of a molehill, this was, to be honest, off my radar until it was put back on my radar, and it wasn't by another media member.
Absolutely, I will confirm exactly that. Again, I thought it was weird at the time. That's why I asked the follow up question. I thought it was a totally legitimate follow up question. Guess what, Chris? Just for your conspiracy theory mind, because I know you have one. I didn't think about it.
We don't need to attack callers.
No, I'm just. Just saying, Chris and I have a history. Mm-hmm. I will just say I didn't think about it until again it was brought up in that context that Craig just outlined.
So as to your other question, though, this was also a part of this greater conversation of kind of how everything works, which is like some guys you need to figure out how to put them in your scheme. Like if you have a playmaker at wide receiver, like figure out how to make that part of your scheme. Figure out the routes that he can be a playmaker on and do and run those. Get those as part of your pass patterns, as part of your route concepts. Pick route concepts that exist within your scheme that have those routes and run them more often. Like certain quarterbacks are just that, like whatever scheme Andrew Luck wanted to be in as a prospect in 2012, that's what the Colts should have run.
Right, but they knew that he could run a pro style scheme, and that's what they built.
But there are other coaches. There's another level of player that can only be successful. There are corners who are only good at press coverage. They are not good in off situations. Right. And so if you're going to go out there and run a bunch of off coverage, it doesn't make sense. But you can't always just adjust everything for one player. You know, if you have a corner playing off on one side and off on the other, there's certain things that have to happen with your safeties or your linebackers have to be able to cover more space. And so if you have press corners on the outside or you have one of each, that changes the equation. And so you have to be able to understand what players are capable of and not, and build a team of a couple of like skill sets and a couple of differing skill sets that all complement each other. And that's what the best teams do. And to your point, I actually think the Redskins have done a decent job in the last two drafts post-McLuhan era. I think the McLuhan drafts were greatly overrated, in part because people were so in love with Scott. But ultimately, like, yes, this front office has done a good job, and that's part of why I think this Doug Williams thing is so ridiculous. Like, he makes them look like they don't know what they're doing in a situation where they actually do, and that's what made people mad over at Redskins Park is that, hey, why are you making us look like dummies when we're not dummies? To use one of your favorite words.
Well, yes, absolutely. It is one of my favorite, and I understand what you're saying, and I get that absolutely they have been better since Kyle Smith has been running the college draft. I think arguably certainly better than Scott McLuhan, even though Scott McLuhan drafted Brandon Scherff overall, and of course Preston Smith, who is now gone. We can go down the list and Jamison Crowder guard. So on and so forth. We can go down the list and compare everybody's draft. The bottom line is this, okay? I guess to put it in the context that everybody out there is going to understand, you would not draft a spread option style quarterback that was not really a thrower, i.e. Tim Tebow when he was coming out of Florida, right? You would agree spread, that's a spread kind of option type system that they were running when Tebow came out, right?
Yeah, that's okay. What he was running in Florida, sure.
You would not ask to put him, I don't think, in a pro-style offense, i.e. what Andrew Luck runs with the Indianapolis Colts, just to use an apples-to-apples or apples-to-oranges comparison, okay? So what I'm saying is, as a scout and as a coach, when you're identifying a talent, you don't say, hey, we run this, and we're committed to running this. We're going to take that guy from a completely different language and ask him to master in our language. We're going to find a player that fits our language. That's the point.
But it's not language. It's skill set.
I'm not talking about just terminology. I'm using language as a descriptive analogy or a descriptive word. Language meaning scheme, fit, understanding what is required footwork-wise, mechanics-wise, all of that. That's what I'm trying to talk about when I say language.
Sure, but if you're going to – it's more of like if you're going to run a pro-style under-center offense and you draft the quarterback who needs to be in shotgun all the time, but the rest of your draft picks have all been spent on, you know, hey, phone booth-style offensive linemen and wide receivers who have a little bit of an extra emphasis on blocking and or more possession types than downfield, like – now you're mixing and matching, and if your scouts don't understand scheme, they're not going to be able to kind of set the right guys in front of your coaches. That's what the scouts are for. The scouts are a kind of a weeding out process that, hey, all right, we've now looked at every single player in the entirety of college football, or basically in the entirety of college football, and we're now going to show our coaches a list of 300 guys that are draft eligible and we think could be potentially good fits because they have this set of skills. Or, hey, our coaches come to us and we get into these meetings and we look at our team needs as an entire group, scouts, coaches, front office, whatever other classification of football operator you want to put, and they say, hey, we need more speed on the outside. Then the scouts have a list of, okay, these are speed type of receivers. Are we looking at an X? Are we looking at a Z? What kind of routes do they need to run? How important is it for them to be able to block in our offense and block certain kinds of plays? Do they need to be out in front on screens? Do they need to be able to seal an edge? Do they need to, whatever it is that you need to be able to do? And again, I think the best positions to kind of explain this are offensive line and corner, because they have extraordinarily specific skill sets. At the end of the day, a wide receiver is going to run and catch the ball. But at corner, okay, are you a press corner? Or for Landon Collins on the pro scouting side, is he a quote-unquote box safety?
Right.
Understanding what Landon Collins is and isn't as a player before you give him to your coaches is really important. And if you don't know anything about scheme, you're going to watch Landon Collins as a cover two safety for the Giants and not know what the hell you're looking
right.
at.
And
these guys know what they're looking at. And that's why Doug saying it was so upsetting to people over there.
But I would just add this. Landon Collins was selling, hey, look, that's what they were asking me to do. That's why I was. They were doing that because they knew his limitations in single high center field safety, deep cover three, or in cover two, right? That's why he.
Well,
that's
he
why
a
the
lot
Giants.
Of cover two.
But that's why the Giant. He's not Earl Thomas, right?
No.
Single high cover three, right? So that's why the Giants are using him more in the box, more around the line of scrimmage, because they identified
Absolutely.
What he's good at. They identified his skill set, and then they blend scheme and talent and personnel all together.
Absolutely. All right, we got some really good games going. We'll take more of your calls next on all of this at 800-636-1067. We'll also get into some of the quarterback stuff as well. But hopefully more of your calls, 800-636-1067. And Juan will have an update on all of the games if you are driving around listening here on 106.7 The Fan at the top of the hour. If you're here with us at Hollywood Casino, well, you got all the games on. Craig Hoffman, Chris Russell live from the Sportsbook in Charlestown, West Virginia at the Hollywood Casino and Resort on 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.